This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Welcome, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. The number, yes, it's a new number, everybody. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. That's the number to call Busted Pencils. Give us a call. You know what's on your mind. Johnny Lupinacci, yeah. How are you, my friend?
And I'm good. It's Thursday. Tonight's a big night for democracy. I mean, no matter what, where you're at or where you situate in those things, it's a big update comes out tonight. Yeah. You know, State of the Union, 8 p.m.
Yeah. Just in case anybody was listening. Yeah. People listening on Tuesday, I gave them a little bit of a heads up, you know, kind of get them out there, you know. So if you've been waiting for if you were waiting for the State of the Union since last Tuesday when I mistakenly made that announcement, it's tonight. And in fact, tonight on Civic Media, catch it at 8 p.m. Central, live coverage on all of the, you know, the majority of the Civic Media stations. You know what though, Johnny, when it comes to Civic Media, you know the easiest way to do it. Download the app. The Civic Love Media it. App. That's all you got to do. Go to Google, you know, your Google store, your Apple app store, download Civic Media. Doesn't cost you a darn thing. And with that, you can listen to Busted Pencils. You can listen to the Earl Ingram Show, the Maggie, all the shows, the Devil's Advocates, every show that you like, you can always have it with you. And as we say, you know, even our friends in Finland love the Civic Media app, because they get to check out Busted Pencils in Finland. It's the coolest thing in the world. 855-752-4842. Busted Pencils, Thursday night, State of the Union coming up. But Johnny, I'm going to drop a education headline
on you. You're going to throw me a curveball.
Yeah.
So much going on.
You know, and we got a great guest coming up at the second half hour of the show. But for now, though, John,
yesterday, really exciting show yesterday. Great callers, awesome discussion.
Educators Amplified every Wednesday in the house. Teacher Joanna was with us yesterday. You know, and Johnny again, democracy. We keep talking about democracy, but Johnny, you know, one of my favorite topics.
Values.
We're gonna continue. Yeah, you have been, you know, teaching the democratic values. We're going to continue to drop that. But Johnny, Education Week today, you know, education news. Anybody's out there, check out Education Week. Johnny, here's the headline. AI is coming.
Oh, my God. Here we go.
AI is coming to teacher prep.
What?
And here's what it looks like.
Teacher preparation, AI. Okay, I can't wait for this. Hey, let's get into this. But before we get into this, should we take a call from L.A. Tom, our guy?
There he is, L.A. Tom, always waiting. And, you know, we're ready. L.A. Tom, what's happening, our friend?
Hey, guys. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, not the corporations. And we must never forget that, because the power lies within we the people. Also, let's not forget that it was the former governor of Wisconsin that said he was going to implement a strategy called divide and conquer. And he said that to Will Hendricks. And the thing is, it's on YouTube for all the listeners out there that want to check it out. Also, there's a quiz I would recommend everyone take. It's called selectacandidatequiz.com. Selectacandidatequiz.com. Since you guys are educators, I think you would find it very, very interesting. Also, I think something that we could possibly delve into is, you know, when you watch the word patterns of grifters, like the former guy, you know, he and I kind of did it yesterday a little bit just to take it for a run, and I think you guys got it. But he always says things like, a lot of people are saying it. It was you.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone I know is saying it. All the meat, you know, whatever it is, it's always, you know, he's the guy that's got the frog in his pocket and can't speak for himself. And I think it's really important that we as a democracy actually can pick up those cues and be able to stop ourselves and say, okay, there's something strange going on here when someone says that they have the definitive answer to everything.
That's right. Great point. Great point. Great. LA Tom, before we might have lost him. If we did, send it in a text or give us a call back. I can't find this quiz that you told us about, and I'm interested in it. So
I'm back.
What's the quiz?
Tom, what was that quiz again?
It's called selectacandidatequiz.com.
Selectacandidatequiz.com.
Yeah, select. Yep, so like a selection, but select a candidate.
Quiz.
Okay. And it's at isidewith.com. I'll put it up. Yep, it's a quiz on isidewith.com. Cool, I'm there. All right, I'll take a look at it, Tom. We'll look at it, and we'll chop it up a bit, that because it does look interesting. Always love your call. Appreciate it. And thanks for giving us a call. That's good stuff. You know,
right.
Tim, I got saved by, there it is. Up on, if you're watching on the YouTube or any of the live feeds, producer Anya got it up there with a flashy graphic. I mean,
that's awesome. That's like new for
wow.
me.
Wow. That is
looking good.
That's what we do here every night on Busted Pencils, man. We bring it. Mm-hmm. L.A. Tom. Okay, Johnny, though, I got to get back to this, man. Your favorite topic, artificial
Everybody.
Intelligence is coming. Yeah, is all coming
people,
to teacher
all the
prep.
People are talking about AI. Everybody. Here's, a lot right. of people say this. It's huge.
Here's here's what that looks like. So teacher prep, in case anybody's paying attention, kind of the chosen trade of Johnny Lupinacci and Tim Slecker, you know, teacher prep, yeah. In other words, teaching teachers to become teachers. You know how we're absolutely. Educated educators who talk education? Well, we're also teaching teachers to become teachers. Well, somebody has decided artificial intelligence needs to be part of preparing teachers. I'll give you a little synopsis, Johnny. The Relay Graduate School. Yeah, here we go. The Relay Graduate School of Education is developing AI-driven simulators to enhance teacher training. These simulators allow prospective teachers to practice interacting with students in a virtual environment before entering a real classroom. The goal is to provide more opportunities for high-quality practice and feedback. The simulators are being developed in collaboration with Wharton Interactive and Chiron Learning, covering skills such as empathy, interviews, clear instruction, and classroom routines. Johnny, you're being replaced, man.
No, man, it's impossible to do. This is the thing I keep telling folks. I've heard this before. AI is coming, and it's coming for our jobs, right? And I'll stop making the jokes about it, because I also agree with LA Tom that we need to be hyper aware of the sort of grifter trade of deferring to, well, you know, research shows, well, you know, help share that research. That's the one I hear a lot. You know, the research shows, I mean, maybe there's a study you found, but consensus says, right? So we have to hold accountability to the grifter statements, like everybody's talking about it, or if you ask anybody. But AI is actually really big. And one of the things I do hear often enough, and by often enough, I mean at least, you know, 3 to 5 times a week when AI comes up, and it comes up way more than that, but aren't you worried that it's replacing jobs? And and that's both true and false, right? Because it's changing jobs, right?
Thank
We've
you.
Talked about that before. It is no doubt about it, Tim, like any other form of education, it is going to change some of the things we do in teacher education, like most higher ed, right? It's going to, in my opinion, it's going to weed out some of the meaningless tasks that are abundant in teacher preparation programs. And we're all working on already not doing that, asking for that reflection over and over again, you know, that students can have AI do. And usually, we've talked about this before, it's pretty easy to detect when you read, and it's super generic. You've showed me some examples.
I've shown you some examples.
You spent more time training your AI to help use it as a tool, so it knows what likely Tim is going to say, because Tim trains his AI. He puts a lot of time into giving it lots of audio of things he's done, shows, podcasts, right? Articles Tim's written, blogs. So it has a base to go off of. Most students don't have that, right? No. And so we know that. But it's not going to replace. So teaching is a craft. It's something you learn by participating in and doing with somebody, giving you direct feedback. And AI is going to be a tool in the learning process, but it's not going to replace our jobs, Tim. It's not going to take...
Will Johnny Lupinacci, will you use the tool, though, Johnny, a simulator? In other words, you've got future teachers sitting out in front of you, and like I know you do, and like I've always had in the past, too. And we say, you know, we give them scenarios of classroom situations, right, and kind of ask them to break it down. Well, here, this artificial intelligence being developed by Wharton Interactive and Chiron Learning, it's going to allow, at least according to the article, teacher training makes it more realistic and yet lowers the stakes for new teachers, allowing them to practice and improve their skills in a simulated environment before a real environment. Potentially here, you can interpret that as saying, so before novice kids who are learning to be teachers go out and screw up kids, they can practice on simulated AI kids.
Yeah.
Before they go out and do damage.
So this is good that you bring this up, Tim, because sim learning labs are really, really important and really effective in like the medical health sciences. Mm-hmm. So like there's precedence set for this. I don't know, and I don't know this article you kind of threw out there as like a curveball tonight, but I'm excited to read more about it, learn more about it, because sim lab experience like opportunities for teachers sounds really good to me. This sounds like a useful tool that isn't going to replace me or you or any of the wonderful teacher educators I'm with, but it might enhance the classroom quite a bit, and we can talk about why when we get back.
Absolutely. Johnny Lupinacci, there we go. Maybe he's softening up on that AI stuff. It's Busted Pencils. It's Fully Leaded Education Talk. The number is 855-752-4842. More Busted Pencils when we get back. Your mouth is moving, but you just make a bitch kick it, baby, just to break your will. I hope you choke on every pill. Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk, educated educators talking education. The new number, yes, it's new, 855-752-4842. LA Tom, right in the top of there, right there, coming in, giving us that first call. Moving, though, getting ready.
You know, sovereignty.
Coming, you know, and again, coming up at the second half hour, though, our guest, we're going to be talking about, and again, it's Carol Burris from the Network for Public Education is going to be stopping by to give us an update on the work that the network is doing. Johnny, though, I threw a curveball at you here for the first part of the show. Artificial intelligence now making the headlines. Education Week. Artificial intelligence is going to be used to teach teachers on how to be teachers. And you were kind of like going like, the idea...
This.
The simulating, right, the kind of, because that's what it talks about. They're developing AI simulators where practicing teachers, people who want to be teachers, can take out scenarios in an artificial intelligence scenario and kind of go through and practice situations. It starts to remind me of a little bit of like Star Trek, of going like, are we going to put on like a big set of goggles and then have a
VR experience?
Virtual or augmented reality. And you go in there and go, you know what? And you kind of pointed out those things. And what would be wrong with that kind of a practice situation that really simulates reality classrooms, but I mean, at the same time doesn't put in draw. Yeah.
So I doesn't put in jeopardy. Because we do a lot of this where we create a scenario or we read about a scenario, we discuss it together, or we talk about one, and then we walk through it, because there is real importance to seeing the craft in real time, to seeing someone learn their teacher voice, to have mm-hmm. them actually do an intervention or stop a lesson to redirect attention from students. You know, I love doing this in real time because new teachers are learning, even if you, and most people who are becoming teachers, most people in general, spend a lot of hours on the job training before they even decide to identify as a teacher, right? We've all been in school for 18 right. plus years and then become a teacher. So there are all kinds of habits that overrule what we know to be good teaching. And so when you're learning to do the kind of instruction and to speak to students, and as teacher Joanna and teacher Hallie teach us all the time about staying regulated, it's mm-hmm. really important to practice it in real time. So I'm interested in this tool, Tim. I'm going to be doing mm-hmm. some more looking into it, because I would love to learn how it might bring a value or add an experience to my classroom. I'm not threatened by it because
I love that. Johnny Lubinacci is
I got a challenge that I don't know. I mean, I'm just throwing this out there like your curveball at me. I'm throwing it out there, Tim. All right, you remember the story about John Henry?
Oh yeah.
John Henry.
Oh yeah, man. Railroad? You know, right.
I think we should get some master teacher educators together, and we should have, you know, we should have a competition, AI versus teacher educator. And I'm ready to go. I'm like, I'm ready to throw down. I feel like John Henry, right, of the teacher ed world, man. I'm ready to go head to head with AI on scenarios in classrooms. Let's go.
Let's go. Well, hey, you know what, though? Caller Joanne. Joanne is on the line. What's happening, Joanne?
Yes, this is a great issue. I'm so worried, though, because we have so many young individuals in college who are thinking of future careers. They'd like to be teachers and all that. They try out the simulator and they say, ho-hum, you know, so what? You know, I made the simulator do this or that or whatever. I learned a few tricks. As opposed to understanding what it is to make students wake up in terms of their creativity, to make them smile, to reassure them, to be a part of their educational experiences. The live aspect is so motivating, and as opposed to the AI aspect, and I'm a person who develops AI programs for a living, okay? So I'm kind of talking against my own craft here. But I'd be worried about setting students on the wrong path in terms of what teaching is all about if we just use those simulators.
Yeah.
Well, Joanne, because I think what Johnny's really talking about, though, too, and love when you call to remind us, too, specifically of how we need to really pay attention, because, you know, like anything, we don't always want to just jump in. But, you know, Johnny, you're talking about, you know, using this as a companion to what you might be doing in regular classrooms with real students, and yet using this as a companion to give them, you know, that kind of low stakes ability to try stuff out.
Yeah, and I love that Joanne brings this up, because I don't know the limitations of AI. That's why I said, sign me up. I want to play around with this. Like, I want to see as a teacher and teacher educator, how it works and what its limitations are. Because I agree with Joanne, if it's one of the primary or only experiences you have around what it means to be a teacher, I doubt it's going to do very good at all. But as a tool, it kind of reminds me of, like, you know, Tim, I have a terrible golf game and I'm always trying to get better at it, but I'm not really putting in the time. But every once in a while, like, I've tried this thing called Top Golf, where I go and I'm like in like an indoor setting and I hit the ball at a screen, and it's not the same as golfing, but it gives me some real time feedback and some different things. And there's probably a tool, and I'm way outside of my lane because I'm not a golf pro by any means, but, you know, there's somewhere. And if I was training to be a golfer, that probably that kind of technology might be value added. Nothing beats getting out and actually playing the game. And this is what I think Joanne is saying here. What a tragedy if by some means teacher education didn't have real-time feedback from people learning that they like to be around children. They genuinely like the benefits of being an educator, and you're not going to get that. And I can say that wholeheartedly, you're not going to get that in an AI experience. But
you're
might it
going
be
to
value? I would be interested in seeing.
You're interested, but you see the text there from Jake from Drake from Green Bay. Sounds like the beginnings of Robo Teacher. Be careful what you wish for, Johnny Lupinacci. Right?
This is true. Could we have Robo Teacher? I mean, a few years ago we joked about this, and you know, technology. Mm-hmm. A few years ago, that's not that long ago. But thinking about, like, we joked about, could you have like an iPad that you were like on a robot that moved around the room? And that had your face on it, right? Or can students attend your classroom from home, but have like a little thing? And yeah, it exists, right? It's
it
real.
Exists.
But I love that Drake brings that in, the robo teacher. Like the AI is coming, and I don't doubt for a minute that if we weren't careful about how we implement these tools, that there probably already is somebody arguing that, you know what we can do to address the teacher shortage.
There you go.
Really developed this robo teacher technology. I just patented that right now, by the way. I have the rights to robo teacher tech, right? And because I think Drake is right. It could be an argument for more AI in the classroom, less teachers. And I think that would be a tragedy, Tim.
Yeah. And that, again, that's not what we're talking about here. These simulators or something. Johnny, this is you taking your robo teacher kind of like as a teaching assistant, bring in that AI robo teacher, whatever it is.
But I want to go head to head with it first, man. I got to battle.
Yeah, you want to go head to head. I love the example you made though about, you know, doing that, the golfing simulator. It helps, right? It helps. You get to go out there, but it doesn't replace.
I haven't gotten better at golf yet. Doing it,
but it doesn't replace going out and golfing. And so when we're educating people, the ability to have a low stakes entry point, learn a little bit before you go out, but nothing replaces learning to be a teacher by being out in the schools. More when we get back. Yes, what we do. Right through the undertow, busted pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842 is the call number if you want to call in. And here we are. She is back. Carol Burris from the Network for Public Education, our friend joining us in... You know, well, in the reality world of, it's not virtual, it's real. We're just seeing each other, though. If you're looking at everybody on the YouTube or the Twitter or the Facebook, there's Carol, there's Johnny, and there's Tim. Carol, though, you're here today very specifically, and I want to get into this because the Network for Public Education has released Public Schooling in America, Measuring Each State's Commitment to Democratically Govern Schools. Carol, welcome back to Busted Pencils. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Johnny and Tim, thank you for having me on again.
All right. We're lucky to have you. Thank you.
We got a lot here. You know, we're going to jump in. And so states are all over the map when it comes to what this is it's a report card, really, right?
Right. Where
the network for public education has taken every state in the union and said, look, you either get an A, B, C, D, or F when it comes to public schooling and the support and or non-support that you get, and grades all across, you know, the map there. You had some top ones, but 17 states got Fs.
They did.
Whoa.
17 got Fs.
Oh my 17 goodness. Got Fs.
Yeah. You know, this was an interesting one. We've done these report cards before. Usually, though, we just focused on privatization. We focused on charter schools and vouchers and the laws around those. This time, I said, you know what, we need to broaden it a little bit. We need to look to see if there's patterns in the rug on this stuff. So, like, are all of the states that are passing all of these crazy anti-CRT, anti-gay student laws, you know, are they also the states that have all of these vouchers and these charter schools? What about their homeschooling laws? How well are they protecting kids now that we're starting to give public dollars to people for homeschooling, right? Then we also looked at school finance. Are they starving their schools? How are their public schools doing in relation to other public schools? Are they funding them equitably? Are they funding them according to their ability to pay, right? Because some states, they're poor states, let's face it. Are they funding them with their cost of living? Teacher salaries. Do teachers, you know, what kind of bargaining rights do teachers have? And so we did a variety of categories. We still had, we had 111 possible points in all. 60 of those points were dedicated to privatization, to their charter schools and their vouchers and the laws that they have regarding those two groups of schools. And then we had some points, minimal points, I think about 7 for homeschooling laws. We had freedom to teach and learn. And then we also had the school financing piece that I think was 12 points. I think it was 24 points for freedom to teach and learn. So, you know, we tried to look at it, you know, so we had what we call these other factors, right?
Right.
And we had the privatization factors. And then we gave grades for privatization. We gave grades for the other factors. Then we looked and we said, well, what do we see? What are the patterns of the rug on the rug? And the truth of the matter is, especially when it came to the F schools, you know, they were, I think there were 2 maybe that were outliers, but the rest of them, they were consistent Fs or they would be an FD combination. And there were 17 of them.
Yeah. And speaking of the grades though, too, the busted pencils coming out of Wisconsin, got a, they didn't get an F, but they got a D. Carol, give us a little bit
of that.
They were close to the F or close to the C?
They were close to the F. They were not close to the C. No.
So Wisconsin Public Schools, the Network for Public Education, is saying, you know, sorry, but the state has got a D. I point that out, though, to say, because everybody listening in Wisconsin, most people would go, yeah, you know, after these many years of Scott Walker and Act 10 and everything like that, you know, I know the listeners and supporters of Busted Pencils are not surprised to hear that letter grade.
Yeah. And one thing I'd like to say, too, for the record, is it's not the schools of Wisconsin that were graded D. It's the legislature of Wisconsin. Oh,
thank you for correcting that. Right. It's not, we didn't give the schools, it was the support to public schools.
Correct.
And Wisconsin, guess what? The legislature in Wisconsin, they got a D, almost an F, in their support for public school. That's a better way to point that out. Thanks. Thank you, Carol, for correcting
that. Yeah, we were really looking to grade state houses, right? Because that's where all of this happens. And then we took a look at the state houses too. And with the Fs, there were 17. 14 of the 17 had Republican trifectas and had Republican trifectas for a while. And then in 2 of the others, in Arizona and North Carolina, there were Democrat governors. However, prior to the Democrat governors, there had been Republican trifectas and also supermajorities. So, you know, you saw these policies like Florida. Oh my, they only were able to get 17 points out of a possible 111. They were just at the bottom of the bottom on everything. And that's, they underfunded their schools. They underfunded them in an inequitable way. They had underqualified teachers. They had teachers that were underpaid, and we did that based on cost of living. Then they had all of the, they had more book bans. We actually went and counted up how many states have either book ban laws, and then even took a look at the percentage of children in the state affected by book bans. There we go, Florida again. So Florida. In Wisconsin, you guys were pretty good on that stuff. You know, you haven't gone too much into that crazy land. homeschooling.
that's good to know. It's not too crazy in Wisconsin, because
not well, as bad as other places.
But you know, you think about that, and just kind of. Again, it's not a grade of the schools. We are, and what I like here too, this is grading the legislature, you know, the state government really support for public education, as Johnny and I have been talking about, you know, going over just again the constitutional authority which lies at the state level to take care of public schools. You know, we've been pointing this out, and so this is a grade of those people, not of the kids, not of the teachers, not of the school boards, but of the state really support there. Johnny, you know, and I know you've been like going like, look, and the reality when we talk about this, we've been really hitting this one, Carol, because where Wisconsin is, though, the constant underfunding and defunding that we continue, as we had teacher Joanna on last night pointing out, you know, well over 90 school districts going to referendum this year, just so they can have not money for the things they want, but money for the things they need.
Right. Right. And you lost, Wisconsin lost a lot of points on privatization. I mean, you have 5 different voucher programs. I think the only other state, well, the one that's the worst is Ohio, but you're awful close. And yeah, I'm trying to remember too. I believe even one where you know, you give these tax breaks and tax credits and your homeschooling laws. I mean, you can be a felon or a sexual offender, and you can homeschool, not a problem. There are only 2 states. There are only 2 states that have laws that say that felons and sexual offenders cannot homeschool children.
And for all of
the high stakes testing that you have in public schools, everything. If you homeschool, you're getting, you know, whatever you're getting for homeschool, or you're just doing homeschooling, you don't have to even assess your child. I mean, if some states you have to assess them, but you don't have to report them. So who knows if anybody's even doing it? But there's that they do not. Wisconsin does not require any kind of measurement of whether kids learn. Nor does it require any educational requirements for the educational provider. Some states require a GED, a very high bar, right?
Right.
In Wisconsin, you can be a criminal, you can be a child abuser, you can have a third grade education, and you can homeschool, no worries. It makes a mockery out of the laws that we have in this country for compulsory education.
Johnny, jump in there. I see you.
Well, there's some parts of that I would want to get into the weeds in, but I'm curious too, because we have listeners in Illinois, and that's close by to the Wisconsin listener base. And Illinois got an A, and I was looking at the top 5. I was seeing our states that did well. What, like, just a highlight, what's it like in a state? Like, what is state legislation doing well out there so that we can say, how do we advocate for this? Like, how do I raise my grade? All right.
The states,
what are they doing well in Illinois? Because I know there's listeners there that are tuned in, but what's it like to get an A? What's the character sketch of those states?
Well, what really made a difference with Illinois that helped their grade bump up a lot than it might have last year was the fact they got rid of their voucher program. Okay. It was a program that would sunset, and they let it sunset. You know, they had the courage to do that in the legislature. They have charter schools, but they've been pretty good, at least of late, it's sort of kind of keeping a cap on them. They don't let the for-profits go wild. They don't, you know, let a lot of other things happen that are happening in other states. It's much more of a Wild West in Wisconsin. Their homeschool laws are decent. They're not perfect, but they're better. For example, you know, they require parents to let districts know if they're homeschooling. Believe it or not, there are 7 states where you don't have to tell anybody you're homeschooling. No requirement, even though it's compulsory education in the States. They're also, you know, they're fine on all of the factors of teaching and learning, and they do a pretty good job of funding their schools. Look, you know, I think we could make a case for every state doing a better job of funding schools, but everything is really kind of relative. At least it was in this report card. We didn't have an absolute standard for that criteria because it would be pretty well impossible to do. So we use the Education Law Center's ratings, which are excellent, on public school funding. And so, you know, if they had stayed in the top 10, then that state got full points and, you know, right on down the line to the ones like Florida and Arizona. Nasty down in the South. It was a lot of red on the map.
Yeah. Johnny, you know, I was just thinking, when you Illinois with an A, I want my surprise, and again, I don't know why, but to see North Dakota getting
setting the curve. That's what I was going to say. North Dakota's out there setting the curve. And Carol sharing what it took to do well on this evaluation. And these are things that we've been talking about. Like, so for Wisconsin listeners out there, like sitting with that D, there's improvement and there's a pathway to that improvement. And we've been talking about it, right? Like really, this is not saying ban all charters, but saying, hey, they're here. Let's rein them in a bit. Let's have some accountability around these things. Let's say absolutely no to vouchers. And let's explore different ways where we can bring that grade up. This is a tremendous resource. We'll put the link in our downloads for this for listeners who might want to come back and re-listen to this and get at this report. It's really useful. And so, Tim, I think when we come back, we can connect this. We got a really like a text caller who asked a question that I think these resources are really useful for.
Absolutely. It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. The executive director from the Network for Public Education, Carol Burris, is our guest. We're talking about public schooling in America, measuring each state's commitment to democratically governed schools. When we get back, we're going to dig. There it is. Grinding guitars, Busted Pencils. Fully leaded education talk. Our guest, the executive director for the Network for Public Education, Carol Burris, looking at the new report put out there. Yeah, public schooling in America, measuring each state's commitment to democratically governed schools. In other words, a letter grade, not for the schools, not for the kids, not for the teachers, not for the school boards. Letter grades to the state and whether or not they actually support their public schools. Wisconsin has a D. Down below there, though, in the South, Illinois got an A. North Dakota has an A. You know, we're out there. But Johnny, you were talking about bringing back, though, the connection to privatization. I'm just trying to find that. We had a text person coming in.
Teresa sent a text in. It's kind of like calling. If you want to do that, you can send a text to the number and we get that in a little bubble. But she was asking, there was a group that said they had a database that could look up school districts to see how much money is taken from your district and used for school vouchers. We don't know that resource specifically, but Teresa, this report is really helpful. You're running for school board. Thank you. That's important civic duty. This is where we go from a D to better grades, because people who make themselves aware with the best information out there about school funding get access, and we'll make sure you get that report. But also, Carol, you mentioned some of the information in the report and some of the things are based on the education law organization. You referenced, what is that organization again for listener Teresa and others who are like, this is helpful. Yeah.
This would be very helpful for you, Teresa. It's the Education Law Center. Yes. And if you just go and Google them, you'll find them. Very, very responsible. They're in New Jersey. A lot of good research. They actually challenge a lot of voucher laws around the country, and they've had some great successes. Wonderful team. And they put out every year a report based on money report, right? So it rates states on school funding adjusted for cost of living. It has an equity rating, which measures the gap between your low poverty districts and your high poverty districts. So for example, in Nevada, they are at the very bottom. There is a 33% gap between the low poverty districts and the high poverty districts of Nevada. And then they also measure states by their ability to pay. So they say, okay, you know, maybe you're a really poor state, so you really don't have the resources to put to schools. But if we take a look at your GDP or whatever it might be, some other growth measure, and we go, you can pay a lot more than you're actually paying. Again, Florida on the bottom, right? So it really is a very good research-based information source for anyone who's interested in school finance.
I wondered about this though, Carol. I'm just going to throw a little, not a curveball, but a question. When this is out now, Florida, we're talking about Florida, right? Doesn't this, we have a national teacher shortage. We have a horrible teacher shortage in Florida. This report, boy, if anybody who's looking to become a teacher in Florida, does this report tell them to get up and get out, to not come? Or maybe like Johnny's saying, though, or take on the challenge to go, I'm going to go to Florida to become a teacher, to change things, to make them more. I'm thinking like, and so what is the incentive for Florida to get better? Because I'm also thinking about, I know the, as you said, it trifecta there of people. It feels to me like Florida is intentionally trying to drive public school people away.
They are. They are. I mean, that's, you know, it's interesting. We started to talk about it a little bit. You're going to talk to Julian next week, Julian Vasquez-Heilig, who's right on the board of MPE. And that he testified, MPE was asked to bring somebody to testify at the House Education Committee on Charter Schools, right? It was because the House is now Republican dominated, they get three witnesses, the Democrats get one. And I forget what the name of it was. It was something like charter schools are beautiful. I mean, I think that was the name of the hearing or something similar. The way the chairman, this guy Bean from Florida, started it was to start the hearing with everybody this time of year, they're waiting to see their lottery number to find out if they get into their charter school and they can escape the devastatingly terrible, horrible public schools. And they could not, the Republicans on that committee could not say the words public schools without putting the word failing in front of it. And it was so obvious. They had this love fest with charter schools with three witnesses that half the time, you know, my BS meter was going like, whoop, whoop. I mean, they were just making crap up. Like, New Orleans schools are great. I mean, give me a break. If you look at Nate, they're always on the bottom. They've only minimally improved, and that's because of extra money. And, you know, but this, it was so obvious that what this was about, this was not about loving charter schools. This was about hating public schools.
Exactly.
And, you know,
and that's what we can't do. And this is why we love the work of the Network for Public Education that you guys do out there nationally. And, you know, we have our collaborative team, the Wisconsin Public Education Network, people that come on the show to talk about this, putting out there, because what we're really trying to do here is create this movement with Busted Pencils of our neighbors, of people listening and really saying the democratic foundation of this country is our public schools, and recognizing, you know, this isn't a show to go, oh my God, it's horrible. It's to point out and say the future, let's make things better. So if you're a state like Wisconsin with a D, You got time to listen to Dr. Johnny Lupinacci tell you about those core democratic values we've been talking about and how public schools are essential. And we need to bring that grade up. We need to start lifting, moving things forward because, man, if you care about democracy, then your public schools are where it's at. Carol Burris, thank you so much for your time. Love you, when you always come and bust pencils with us.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you so much. Have a good night, Matt.
All right. And tomorrow night, Friday, Johnny and Tim, Week in Review. See y'all tomorrow.